You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
I'm Chris Havergal for Times Higher Education. I'm joined by businessman Claude Littner, who's well known from his work with Alan Sugar at companies like Amstrad and Viglan. He's also well known to a wider audience for his combative interviews on The Apprentice. But today I'm the one interviewing him at the launch of the Claude Littner Business School at the University of West London. Claude, you studied business studies at a predecessor institution of the University of West London. I just wondering if you were able to explain how your involvement in this came about and why you were happy to lend your name to the business school.
Well, it's a very long story, really, but I first came to this business school at the end of the 1960s, and what attracted me to this particular institution was the fact that it had a sandwich course, quite novel at that time, and the sandwich course consisted of 6 months at college studying for the degree and 6 months at industry. Also, the quirky thing about the course was that you had to have sponsorship, and at the time, the college had a lot of companies who were linked to them. So I was sponsored by Lucas CAV at the time, but we had companies from students from BP, Shell, British Aerospace, Hoover, a whole range of companies. So the cohort that I was with had all these kind of sponsoring companies, and there were very close links between the university, or the college as it was, and these companies. So very often what I would have is a situation where I'd be doing a marketing module in college, and then I'd go back to the sponsoring company and go into the marketing department. So there's quite a lot of linkages.
And so through your career you feel you've benefited from that background?
Well, I think that certainly it helped me. I think it helped me mature. So from the age of sort of 18 to 21, whatever it was, I think it helped me mature, get a good understanding of a grounding in business, so that I understood a little bit about contract law, a little bit about accountancy, a little bit about business, a little bit about how things worked, coupled with the fact that I had some practical experience of having been in various different departments. That was helpful in terms of a maturing process for me. I then promptly actually left Lucas CAV, because what happens is, if you are known as a undergraduate and you come there and you're a graduate, you expect to be treated differently, but they kind of still treat you as kind of the young kid when you're, when you're 18. So I left there, and I had a huge, huge lucky break, because I went to Unilever. And whereas, I don't want to say too much bad about Lucas, but it had terrible industrial relations problems. It was losing its focus in terms of having control of the marketplace. Lucas, suddenly you had Bosch and other companies who were coming in, taking the kind of livelihood away from them. So it was very, very tough. I went to Unilever. I went to head office at Unilever. I had the most fantastic 7 years at Unilever. I found that it was an inspirational place to work. I worked with some of the main board directors, and some of the people who I worked with have become, in their own right, like chairman of ICI and other and other huge companies. So that was a terrific company, and all the things I saw that were kind of wrong and difficult at CAV, Lucas CAV, were fantastic at Unilever. It was a terrific experience. So I think if I just look back at those years, I think having had the experience of working for a rather poor company in trouble, and then working for a company that was really technically excellent with a fantastic workforce and fantastic managers, it was a great experience, and I backed that up with the information and knowledge I gleaned from doing the degree. I was well placed, I think. If I kind of move myself many years forward, I actually left Unilever in order to start my own business. Unilever said, look, Claude, you're going to fail at your business, for sure. So what we'll do, because we do value you, we'll keep your job open. So when you fail, you just come back to us and have the job open. That's the confidence they had. By a quirk of good luck, I think it was mainly good luck, the business was successful from week one. And I then built the business up quite significantly, and then some years later sold it. I then went through a period of working for companies in trying to turn them around. I just got involved with companies that were in trouble, more by luck than judgment, and I worked very hard for a number of years to try and bring them up and turn them around. At that point, I realised that I needed to refresh my education, and I came back to this establishment to do an MBA. And it was an executive MBA, which meant that I'd worked all day at the job, and in the evening, exhausted, I'd have to think, oh, what do I do? Go home. Or do I turn right and come to the college? Mm. And more often than not, I turned right and came to the college.
I see. And through your career, what's been your perception of the importance of business schools? When you've been running businesses, either in terms of taking people on or learning expertise from the research that takes place at business schools?
Look, from my perspective, there is nothing to beat experience, on-the-job experience. If you've got 20 years of having been in industry, been in lots of different jobs, worked with a whole load of different people, got an understanding of what makes them tick, and when you're in a junior position, looking at how senior people work. Mm. I mean, I had a lot of bosses who were awful bosses, and I was determined that if ever I became a boss, I wouldn't behave in the same way they did. Mm. So I think you learn a lot from on-the-job, but having said that, there's a lot to be said for education, for actually having a good grounding in business. When I go into meetings, or when I used to go into meetings, and people were talking about various elements, because I'd studied them, albeit maybe not specialised in them, I had a good idea of what was required. I had a good idea of whether that was the right way. So the combination of experience and grounding in business, I found to be incredibly beneficial.
Of course, because some people are critical of business schools, saying that they're perhaps not relevant, that many businesses don't recruit directly from business schools, or that they're full of academics not doing research which isn't relevant to sort of day-to-day business life. Is that something you sympathise with, or something you think that's unfair?
I think there's certainly some truth in it, and there are no doubt students who are very focused on the academic part of things and don't then have the common sense practical ability to transfer that into the real world. So I think that, you know, if you just look at a business school standing alone, it may not serve everybody's purpose. There are some people, I pick Alan Sugar as an example, who are just natural. They understand business, they've got common sense, and they've also learned on the job. But they've just got some kind of sixth sense. They just understand the way things work, and they have a force and a presence, which means that a business school would probably be of no use to them. You've got other people, Martin Sorrell, a whole load of other people who are business school graduates and who have done the same as I have in my small way, levered up the experience they've had from business school and had the practical experience and put that to good use.
So do you think for a business perhaps it's important to have a mix of those backgrounds? Because it would seem that some of the acumen that Alan Sugar has, you'd wonder whether that really could be taught.
That's right. I think that some of the things you can't teach, because if you've got good common sense and a nose for a deal, then that's something that possibly you're not going to learn. But most of the people don't have that. Mm. Also, most companies don't want that. They don't look for that. Those are entrepreneurial skills. What they're looking for is managers. They're looking for people who they can trust and rely to do a proper job. If they give them a function, then they're going to complete it, knowing that they have the experience and expertise to carry it on. Mm. And there's a sort of code whereby businesses understand that if somebody's got a degree or somebody's got an accountancy qualification, they are going to have had the training which will enable them to do the job that is set before them. So if I interview people, the first thing you look at is what are their qualifications. Now, the second thing you look at is what experience they've got and what have they actually done. But I think that increasingly, companies need to rely on people who have got a kind of an academic type background that will then help them to work in the business that they've chosen.
And why do you think that's becoming increasingly so? Is that sort of the increasing complexity of industry?
Yes, I think that's right. You've hit the nail on the head in that I think that what you've created now are some very, very large companies where they're not looking for an entrepreneurial spark. They're looking for people who can do a job that is set out for them, and they can know that they're going to do it honestly and diligently. And I think that having a business qualification or another qualification is something that is your start of a 10.
Of course. And what do you think, from your perspective then, that business schools can do more to help the British economy and companies like those that you've run?
Okay, well, I think this is why I think that I've become involved with this business school, because I think there is a challenge and an opportunity for bringing business education a little bit more into the real world, to try and combine the academic stuff with the practical. So if you've got people who have been in business, in a range of different businesses, for most of their working life, and I think if you combine that with people who are from academia, who can teach the principles, and you marry those two up, I think you've got something that could be extremely valuable. So I think that you can't discount the academic aspect. It's interesting, all that academic, all the history, all the way that you've got to where you are now. That's good. But I think also, when you get into the real world, when you go into an office on your first day of a new job, I think you have to understand what the world of work is like. You have to understand the hierarchy. You have to understand how things really work. And I think the combination of someone who has, or a number of people who have actually, you know, had years of experience would be very, very helpful to students.
Sure, and so you think that's something that works particularly well at the business school here at the University of West London? Is that what sort of perhaps attractive to you, that they do that well?
Well, I don't know how well they do it. I think there's an opportunity to do it better, and I think that's what I'd like to try and do. I'd like to try and see if I can't get more people from industry into the university as guest lecturers, to give courses, to explain to students what it's really like. So you've got the theory of how a marketing department works. How does it really work at British Airways? What's it really like? What are the challenges like? What are the pressures like? I don't know whether students maybe have some kind of notion that when they come out as graduates, they're going to be suddenly given an office themselves, a secretary, a car, health insurance, all that kind of stuff. Actually, that's probably not the case. They're starting off at a base, and they've got a lot of learning that goes on outside university.
And so you think perhaps that other universities would do well to follow that lead in terms of their business schools, if you think it's perhaps something that some business schools don't do so well?
Yeah. To be honest with you, I'm no expert in what business schools are and are not doing. But I do see graduates who come out of business schools, and some of them are very theoretical, and I think it's important for them to actually have the experience of having had practical. That's why I'm also very keen on going back to my kind of first example of having sponsorships, where large companies would sponsor, would give apprenticeships, would allow students to spend 6 months shadowing somebody or doing some work for 3 months, a 3 month stint after which they have to perhaps write a report. So I think that exposure of young people to actually going into a business and seeing how it works is incredibly valuable, or bringing business people into the university to try and explain certain things.
Of course. And from your perspective then, is this something where you're just giving your name to this school, or is it something where you intend to be, by the sounds of it, perhaps more personally involved?
Well, the agreement I've got is that I need do nothing. I think that because my character is the way it is, there's no way I can do nothing. Invariably, I'm going to get involved. I want to get involved, but I also want to get involved in the right way. I don't want to step on anyone's toes. I don't want to interfere with anything where I'm not welcome. So I think what I'm going to be doing, to the extent that I can, is to work closely with the Dean of the Business School, try and encourage local businesses, large and small, to get closer to the university, to offer these kind of sponsorships if they can, to try and come in, speak to students, and just try and have a closer link between local businesses and the university.
Perhaps just briefly, one or two final things. I don't know how sort of closely you've followed the role of the government in this. I just wondered whether you thought there was anything that the government could be doing to assist business schools to help the British economy. There's a lot of discussion at the moment around issues like visas or other issues. I just wonder whether that's been something you'd followed, and from a business perspective, what you felt the government could do to help business schools work with businesses.
It's a great question, to be honest with you. I think that there is a problem in terms of maybe too many people coming in from abroad, not really having that much interest in going to a business school or attending college, but really just trying to get into this country. And so I think there's a kind of attention between those people who are genuine students who want to come to university, feel that the a British education is something that is highly valuable, and those who are just looking to escape from their country, come here, swan around, have a good time, and really not contribute to the economy. As far as the government goes, I think there is a lot more they can do. you know, there are challenges for the government because there's a finite, you know, it's a bit like charity. You give to a charity and then you give to another charity, and when the third charity comes along, you say, well, I've given already. So I think there's a limit to what they can do. I do think that what the government should do is have more people like me, like Lord Sugar, really advising them. Not people who are the chief executive of or the chairman of large companies, but I think people who understand business, and I think that would be helpful both to the government in terms of running their particular economy and also to form a link with the real world. Because I think there is a disconnect sometimes between you know, what the Prime Minister might think and what actually happens.
Of course. You mentioned Lord Sugar there. Are you hoping that he'll have any involvement with the business school? Are you hoping to have business people coming and offering lectures or anything like that?
Well, I wouldn't say that Lord Sugar is going to be somebody who'll be doing that. That's just not the way he operates. But I think that people can gain a lot from Lord Sugar in terms of, you know, to a limited extent, watching The Apprentice, and also from just basically following his career, following some of the things he says, some of the viewpoints he has. He may not be always right, but he has a view on certain things. And I mean, you have him, you have Branson, you have a lot of people who are worth listening to. And so I think that Lord Sugar doesn't have to come in to actually give a lecture. He's not going to do that. But I do think that one can learn a lot from him and from others. But I think there again, where I think Lord Sugar and others can be very practically useful is in terms of maybe helping to develop young people who have got good ideas. So if, for example, somebody's got a good business idea, I think it's something that maybe Lord Sugar could be interested in funding. So I think the same thing about the university. I think there could be an opportunity where the university gives students who have got a business idea 6 months or so to develop their business plan, have a mentor, generally try and see if they can't bring those ideas to fruition. I know that, for example, Cass Business School, that I've been have an involvement with, they do that, and I think they've been quite successful. And I think that's a great way in which leading entrepreneurs can contribute to young minds who have got good business ideas.
And perhaps finally then, seeing your name to perhaps the widest public through your work in The Apprentice, clearly in that programme you've looked at a lot of business plans and proposals and found that they're not really up to scratch. I was wondering, perhaps some of the contestants you've met on The Apprentice, what you think they might have perhaps gained if they came to a business school?
Well, some of them may have actually been to a business school.
Yes, of course.
I think that I think I want to be quite fair about this, and that is that to a certain extent my role on The Apprentice is to be very difficult and awkward and not always to look at the positive side of a CV or a business plan. It would make for very boring television if, in fact, I thought everyone was wonderful and I admired everyone. So, to a certain extent, I'm looking for fault. And when you look for fault, you generally can find it. So I think that on the current crop of candidates who I've interviewed, by and large, their businesses have been all right. Their ideas have been okay. Some of them need more work. Some of them actually have put too much work into it. You know, to read 100 pages when actually it could be condensed into 20 is another example. So I think that these candidates have actually learnt a lot from the process of The Apprentice, and certainly it's a bit of a rude awakening when they come before me, but often I think that it's helpful in the long run to them to have had a critical eye on their business plans and their ideas of future.
Of course, you're not necessarily looking to do that with dissertations from the business school.
No, I think not. Okay. And the truth is that in the real world, nobody could behave in the way that I do on television and get away with it. It's not realistic.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.